This is Menle Golikai Agri.
And this is Lauren Yoshiko, and you're listening to Broccoli Talk, a podcast for cannabis lovers. Happy belated summer solstice by the time this thing comes out.
Yes.
It is very good to be back in our metaphorical smoke circle with y'all. Right now, when we're recording this, still processing some pretty harsh times over the last few weeks in our country. So many of my friends are becoming moms right now, and my thoughts are heavily with the parents and caregivers out there worried about letting their kids just leave the damn house for so many reasons. Like, I can only imagine, and I just am giving everyone a lot of love and peace through the airwaves, stream waves. But I feel like I can tell when I have a depressive phase because my smoker's cough worsens a little more hacky in the AM. And then I'm like, all of a sudden I'm just like, okay, I got to stop picking my face. But I can tell both have been happening too much lately, and I just need to have like a detox week. I'm like hacking and need to use little pimple patches to stop myself from just like anxious manifestations. And so next week, I think I'm going to do a little fresh start for a new moon.
Ooh, I love that.
How are you doing?
I love that. There's this thing that I read, I'm sure it was just like on a feed, I scrolled past it, but it was this question of the check-in of how's your skin, which, you know, it came to mind when you were just talking. And I think, you know, our bodies do have this way of showing us when they're stressed out and when things aren't okay. So I wanted to respond back, how is your skin? I'm all right. You know, I'm living, I'm surviving. I think by the time this episode airs, we are sort of at the cusp of Gemini season and Cancer season. We've gone through a Mercury retrograde, and you know, both this planet and the astrological sign rules information and communication and technology and chaos. And I think, you know, all jokes aside, coming out of all of that into the time we're in now during this episode, it's, you know, not necessarily a time to panic, but for most, hopefully, it was a moment to reevaluate where we stand when it comes to violence and systemic racism and restructuring, reimagining what that world looks like, right? We have to kind of move forward and think about these solutions. And I think in a very roundabout way, we are set to do that in this episode when it comes to cannabis cuisine and edibles and food and weed. And as a culture and society, I think we're relearning how to consume herb, right? And how to kind of create these infusions and edibles in various ways. And so I'm excited to kind of shift gears and get into that.
Yeah. I mean, cannabis is just this lens for rethinking in so many different ways, right? Like, whether it's just rethinking a drug as a plant and rethinking our social justice and criminal justice systems. And I completely agree that it feels like a time of reevaluation. It's like, what are we going to take from this, you guys? Like, what are we going to take from everything that happened the last 2 years? Like, things better look different. I don't know. Obviously, I'm already freshly tuned up. Cheers to anyone else out there taking a smoke break.
Salute.
I also made sure I ate something before we recorded so that the munchies would not overwhelm me, because we're going to be talking about food and edibles and all these things. Before we get to this appetizing episode, one last very delicious update from the broccoli universe. We have a super special collab with Rose Los Angeles coming out.
Hey, so excited.
Yeah. Rose makes the most amazing edibles called Rose Delights. If you guys haven't tried them, they are sort of like textured like a Turkish delight, which obviously for lion, witch, and wardrobe reasons, I was very nostalgically into. But I do really like their textures and flavors. They're like way too fun to eat. But this new CBD recipe is inspired by the magazine Mushroom People. The recipe is called Candy Cap Root Beer, made from wild foraged candy cap mushrooms, sarsaparilla, sassafras, birch bark, star anise, little mint, little vanilla, fresh ginger, and lemon peel.
Oof.
I know, I'm a root beer freak. I'm very stoked on this flavor. That's like my movie theater soda that I go for. And I guess candy cap mushrooms kind of taste like maple syrup, so they're basically forest candy.
Oh my God.
We can't wait for people to try these. They have like a warming, comforting, really unique flavor. You can imagine falling asleep in a sunlit grove in the woods after foraging mushrooms. And when you wake up, you find an elixir made by a woodland sprite, made from ingredients gathered from the plants around you. That's the Candy Cap Root Beer vibe. You can pick up a box from roselosangelescbd.com, shipping anywhere in the U.S.
Well, Lauren, are you ready to bite into today's episode?
I am ready.
Sorry, it's so corny. I couldn't think of anything else.
It's not going to be the first corny thing we say, I'm sure.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. Food and weed, only the two best things.
Only the two best of best. Food and weed, I feel like, has been one of the fastest growing markets within the cannabis space.
Oh, yeah.
As we all know and are witnessing, edibles, gummies, infused dinners, according to end-of-year data from Seattle-based cannabis analytics firm Headset, the sales of adult use and medical edibles have grown by 60% across 7 state markets to $1.23 billion in 2020. So many consumers, I think, were trying to shield away from like inhalable forms of cannabis, trying to protect that respiratory system. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, have this very discreet way of consuming. But the surge prompted many edible manufacturers to invest in research and development, which I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, the 2022 edibles market is just huge. It's happening in Europe, in certain, I think, segments of the market there. So it's just interesting to sort of ponder why and how we've like gotten here, you know, from the first edible in 1000 BCE, which is bong,
yes,
right? This very delicious edible drink that's made from cannabis leaves and rose water and chai-like spices. And here we are now to these weed-laced caviar treats that it turns out it's actually not caviar. It's like a plant-based version.
That is wild.
Isn't it cool? It's almost like in the ways that you would sort of make hash is kind of also the foundations of how you make this like caviar.
Whoa.
But let's get into it. I'm ready to talk about all of this, Lauren.
Yeah, I want to talk about like some foods, some interesting things like that crazy sounding weed caviar, but we're going to get vibey and talk about also like dream scenarios and like what edible experiences can be and what makes them special. I listened back to our past food episode before this one. That was one of our earliest episodes. And mm-hmm. anyone who wants a refresher on weed butter slash very user-friendly intro to edibles and how decarboxylation works, you should check out that past episode. It is number 5. But what a journey it has been.
Yeah.
And today, like you said, it's poppin', only going to get more poppin'. I mean, just in the fundamental, like right now in stage one, I think the most popular edible is a gummy.
Yeah.
That like easy small thing. And I'm a huge fan of those 2 to 5 milligram things. Like, keep them coming. I'm not bored with gummies whatsoever, or like chocolates or those little things, just because that's like, as somebody who enjoys quality craft sweets, it's like my dream anti-anxiety pill. It's just like a happy pill. I'm such a flower fan that it's rare that I'll fully replace flower with an edible, but
same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those small increments, like, that's lovely to have around. Like, that's a very key part of my medicine / fun cabinet, if you will. I, of course, have, like, a classic Got Too High story from my youth, but I think we covered those in the old episode. Y'all don't need to hear it again.
We're always down to bring up the new ones, though. I mean,
yes.
I hear you. Those low doses are so good. And I think gummies are also interesting because they sit in this place where they're so enticing for all ages. And that can be scary when it comes to compliance, et cetera. But
oh, yeah.
As somebody who is legit, and I'm not proud of this statement. I am legit addicted to Gomita's gummy bears. Like, that texture is so good to me. It's like being in the womb.
It's never going to get old.
It's never going to get old. And I think it's that ritualistic kind of treat that we can give ourselves that comes with, like, getting a little high, getting some pain relief, your anxiety pill. And I think almost more so than me also getting into, like, my worst edible stories, I'm constantly delighted by the fact that almost every person has a weed edible story. Even if that story yes. starts off with, like, oh, I didn't know that there was weed in the brownie, or, like, it was just a cookie. I think about this in the sense where, like, we know, for instance, like, deers and other, you know, small mammal, wood animal type creatures, they knowingly eat magic mushrooms. They knowingly eat things that are toxic to them because...
Okay, I did not know that, actually. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, not every animal species does it, but I think it's fascinating that you choose to.
Cats and their nip.
Exactly. And deep down in their own delight, I think subconsciously, it's like, you know you're consuming weed. And I'm talking about humans now. You know you're trying to get a little high. It's like, I'm sorry, my guy. You can taste it. I feel like I'm almost a connoisseur, and I can fucking taste every time that there's weed in something.
Yeah, just a little herbalness to it.
When you have that experience, you still usually come back to it, albeit like in maybe a low-dose form or like method of consumption. I think a lot of folks who still have that really intense like experience with having too much, it's as if... that in itself has kind of cracked open our brains and awareness, again, subconsciously, of like that potential to knock you out, to make you go to sleep, which 9 times out of 10 is what happens when you eat an edible that's too high of a dose. Mm-hmm. But I think we inherently know that this is just a great tool for pain, for sleep, for cramps. Like, it becomes this like toolkit for so many ailments. So I'm hoping, you know, as people start to open up to the idea of consuming cannabis with food or food with cannabis in it, they can think about it more from an experience of how it felt good for them and how it was helpful rather than, you know, how it was bad and sort of feeding into that stigma that I think we already have with weed. But I'm curious still just about, you know, when was the last edible experience that left an impression on you?
Yeah, you know, as much as I enjoy and love eating food that has weed incorporated into it in creative and delicious ways, when I think about it, the last several instances are drinks. They're like infused beverages. And it's like not necessarily a canned or bottled good, but like a chef has made some cool little like custom mocktail thing for an event or experience or dinner, and then you get to control the tincture, or they'll add in the tincture to infuse it, and it's like water soluble, so you should feel it faster. And maybe that's part of it, that like it's actually, I think, really pleasant and great in those situations, in those sitch. Like, I guess I'm also finding that mellow edible highs are very social for me. I like being around people with, like, I very much enjoy an edible high with people. It makes me more outgoing and I think a better listener, because I'm just like a little patient and more curious than like I can be, I think, maybe dominating when I'm just like stoned and confident and into something. but
facts,
yeah, the special edible experiences that come to mind are like recent cannabis community events where, yeah, everybody can't smoke because Portland has kind of weird rules that few people challenge with smoking. And so tinctures and drinks is like a very easy way to do things. But it's also like, I think, a good fit for a lot of group scenarios.
Right.
Like, beverage highs hit diff and they come on so easy and subtle, like just kind of like softening the edges, just like when you're having a beer or a wine at like a schmoozy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe part of my association of edibles and social situations is just that I'd rather be with people when I'm in that headspace. But the people I am speaking of, like the cannabis community, am I going to go sit in a mall and like drinks infused lemonade? Absolutely not.
Not recommended to do this at home.
Nah. But if I was uncomfortably high I would so much rather be around like you and people in my community that I trust, yes, that are in my vibe, to be like, yo, I am like way too high right now, Menle. And you'd be like, okay, that's all good, dude. We're going to get through this. And you would like receive that seriousness and understand it and hear it.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm not too scared
and make you like a beverage to soften those edges.
Like, I would want to be around people who know what that feeling is. Like, I want to be cared for by people who understand, oh boy, Lauren's too high. We gotta give her a little activity, give her a pillow.
No, I think it'd be respect. I certainly played that role. I think we all have, where it's sort of like, okay, like, it's gonna be fine. Have a seat. Let me make you like a carbonated beverage with no weed. And there's like respect in that, in knowing that you're on this journey and like, how can someone help you with it?
I, you know, we're talking about food and weed, and we have neglected to mention that you wrote a book about weed butter and like the art of food and weed. And you think about it a lot. It's kind of like a personal study of yours, this like journey in food and ingredients and people and how those things intersect at different times in different continents. And I know that weed dinners were a part of your life in Mexico City at one point. What is happening with Cena Sin Fronteras?
Yeah, I miss cooking for people because of that creepy way that I like to look at people's faces as they open their mouth and like put food inside of it and either like perk up or like pout when they're told that something has weed in it. And Cena Sin Fronteras, I prefer to separate the cannabis from the food, you know, like having some sort of like rolling station, just because it's a charity event and I don't want to scare people off from donating or from thinking in general that like, oh, something got mixed up. Like, I
don't know if you saw that headline that I was like, oh my God, we have to mention it now. The lady that definitely told her wedding chef to dose all the food. And I don't think the wedding chef got told whether or not, I think she just assumed everybody would know.
It was consensual, yeah.
And it was not at all. And the bride and the wedding chef got charged with criminal charges.
Yo.
Menle, don't follow that path. And that's good. You're being respectful.
It's real. You have to protect people. Also, again, respecting people's choice whether or not they want to consume. But what about you? What's your most like memorable weed dining experience? I don't think I know this.
Yeah, you know, there's so many things happening now that I really don't have an excuse not to have experienced more. Like, I really want to get down to San Francisco and eat at one of Big Bad Wolf's dinners. I want to eat with you in Mexico City and make it our own stone dinner with a joint.
Oh.
But I, the experiences I've had in the Northwest, I think the first like infused dinner I attended, I remember thinking to myself, like, I wanted to get like so stoned. You know, I was just like a heavy consuming.
You were ready.
Early 20s. I was like assuming I was going to get zooted. I was like assuming everything was going to be wild. And then it was like, wait, this food is so good. Like, I want to eat all of it. And I was so excited to learn that it was like less dosed. And it was still just like a reevaluation of like, oh, wow. Because even as a flower enjoyer, I like want to get, I want to feel pretty stoned when I do. I like to feel altered when I do smoke. And so it was the first time really reframing like what I can get out of a low dose experience and how I could like enjoy this food that was good food. And I wasn't just eating it to get high.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like a real mind shift for people. And I hope, like, I'm so excited for people to get to experience those things. And I think once other states get their restaurants and lounges and other weird side licenses opened, like, it's going to be so fun for more people to just experience weed in a different way. And the experience I do think stands out in my mind was a brunch thing I went to. And I think that's one of the reasons it was fun, because it was like a wake and bake.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was like I woke up, I did my usual Sunday stony morning, had a coffee, and I, instead of making myself breakfast, I got cute and headed to this woman's apartment for a brunch thing. It was Liv Vasquez. She'll like come to your place and cook in Portland and the surrounding area. It was so like fresh and simple, and there was like a lot of fruit involved.
Yes.
And she was very like terpene education-y, and having fresh fruit and a woman like talking to us about the terpenes we're smoking and the strain she used to like infuse the syrup that'll go on our waffles, or I don't remember what the main was, but I think it was a vegan brunch thing, so that's why there was more of a sort of raw element. But it was like mind blowing. I mean, I'm sure you all remember the first time you took a bite of mango when you were really stoned, and it's like next. I mean, seventh dimension just opens up. I did get this other impression that was so fun of like, wow, this was a really simple meal. Like, it was not high cuisine. It was not super fancy. A very simple like friend brunch with 10 people. And it was more strangers than any other experience I've had. But the kind of people that would want to come to a stoned brunch with strangers on Sunday, it's like, we're all going to pretty much have an interesting time. Like, one of the attendees was somebody who went on to be the main sign language translator at all the protests in 2020 in downtown Portland. Yeah, just like as a side note of a small world thing. It was such a cool mix of people.
Wow.
And we all got along and vibed and ate fruit, and we're excited about like aromatherapy terpenes happening. That one just being so different from like a fancy dinner / a stony picnic, because I think a lot of us, we assume it's going to be junk food, right? And it's like munchy, munchy, munchies is the brand of weed and food, and having the total opposite is very refreshing and fun.
That sounds like a delicious brunch. Oof, I want one right now, especially with fruit. I think, you know, it's interesting. A couple things came up when we think about even like access to be able to go to these dinners, right? So many of them are often on the like quote unquote fancy tip. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know what that means, quote unquote fancy, because what types of food are considered fancy, etc. But I think it segues into another topic that seems super relevant to discuss on today's show, and that is food and race. And maybe some of you Broccoli Talk listeners are like, all right, Menle, why is this important? And what does this have to do with edibles and cooking with weed? And I'd say to that, as somebody who has written my very sweet cookbook and has been somewhat in the food scene, I think this is a very potent connection that spills out into the edibles and cannabis space. You know, when you think about how racism sort of shapes our perception of what is healthy and what is fancy, I think we know what communities are really left out of that conversation and those experiences, right?
Yeah.
There are a couple recipes in the cookbook where I even had to rethink. I was like, oh, is this going to be like pretty enough? Or like, can I style this like in a way that's going to like entice the white dude's gaze when it comes to food, let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
It was challenging, I think, to recognize that that was what I was initially thinking of, right, when I'm creating these dishes. There is a fried chicken recipe, obviously, in, maybe not obviously, but for me, obviously, in there, even though I'm African, like, we didn't really necessarily come up, like, eating fried chicken from the get-go, but we forced our mother eventually to make them, and, like, you know, there's so many different parallels, but I think some people liked it, but I also felt like some folks were just like, oh, well, this is, you know, it's sort of lowbrow, but whenever it's sort of, like, Korean-style infused chicken, like, people go off. And so there is so much richness in trying to sort of unpack and understand how we see food and how we see, you know, something that's deemed as valuable when you buy that ticket to go to an edibles brunch, or when you purchase that edible. Is it from like a top like chef that's creating like the da-da-da-da-da? There's so much nuance in the way that we look at food and the way that we look at race, and the way that I think so many types of food that are similar are separated because of how we value them.
It is icky. You must come against that so much reading through food trends, ingredients, menus.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating because, like, on one hand, food should be the thing that solves all of this,
right,
to me. Like, I get so, like, rainbow harmony about how, like, Why doesn't rice like solve racial conflict?
That part.
Like, why don't these things that we do have in common? Like sometimes I, as a fifth generation, half Japanese American, have zero tie to my Japanese heritage. And sometimes I have a lot more in common with some Vietnamese American girl whose family lived in Hawaii for 10 mm-hmm. years and then Utah. You know, it's like
your affinity to Hawaii also is beautiful.
I don't know what my Japanese. Yeah, I just feel like I am Asian more than I am Japanese American sometimes. Like I do feel I resonate with that blended nuanced identity mm-hmm. more than the Japanese identity sometimes. So I have like an interesting relationship to those generalized things. But part of the thing that makes me feel at home in that like generalized identity of Asianness is the food. Like when I visited Korea, I was like, oh my God, this is how you guys use sesame oil? Fascinating. Like, holy shit, the Japanese are subtle with that. You guys have way more fun with it. And that made me feel more at home adventuring in that culture, or just feel a little less unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, yeah, the Japanese and South Korean conflict, definitely sesame oil didn't help at all over the years. Hasn't made a damn difference. So, God damn it.
It's interesting, right? The food that like connects us and separates us.
The guys at Mesobis, I think I showed you that brand.
Yeah, I've seen them around for a minute. Obviously, they're here. Yeah.
Mexican inspired, but they also have a Brazilian background they really wanted to create something Latin in like a real sense, something that like many different kinds of people from across Latin America could resonate with. And they mm-hmm. picked that temple shape because when Latin America was really Mesoamerica and kind of was more of a solidified identity, like that was such a symbol of all the richness of all these different cultures was these.
So incredible.
I know. And I was so moved by that. And like they are creating an infused edible with ingredients like mango con chamoy and acai. And they wanted it to taste like home. Mm-hmm. And I got so cerebrally inspired by that because we're talking about something that could never exist in these countries where weed is super illegal, but they're made possible in America, a place where these gummies would never have existed if these guys hadn't moved to America. Mm-hmm. And like, what a beautiful, like truly Latin American creation. These like edibles that are taking in the different immigrant identities, the different multicultural identities that are American. And I find that an extremely inspirational metaphor of what we are creating in the weed scene.
Yeah.
Like, what I feel like the conversation progressing a little bit.
Acknowledge Farms consciously cultivates the highest quality organic hemp extracts. Explore the singular harmony of single strain, regeneratively grown, whole plant, terpene-rich oil. Use code BROCCOLI at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. Visit acknowledgefarms.com. Let's talk about dreamy, magical weed dinner party. Like, where does yours take place? Who is sitting down in these chairs? Who is cooking? What are we cooking? I want to know it all.
Although all I can think about is how excited I am for sunny Stony Park days. I'm going to start with setting the scene indoors, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be like insulated and intimate so I can really just transport everybody somewhere else. Like fuck natural light, fuck windows. Let's do a full, full multi-sensory experience. Like the more I thought about this, I want blank canvas. I want to create like basically a made up place. Like this Pisces is trying to just go to a different dimension with y'all, a different planet.
I'm seeing this. I'm liking it.
Lighting rigs and super creative place settings and otherworldly decor that would really be like, we would forget where we were. We would just lose ourselves in great, weird conversation. And when it comes to the menu, just like simple food, I think, because man, we're all just going to get sleepy if we eat really rich food. And I don't love being dirty. Like, I'm not big on finger food when I'm stoned, because then there's just like a lot of other stuff to remember. I want finger food is fine, but like saucy food, we need to have controlled dipping scenarios, because weed helped me appreciate, it made me like a better eater, like appreciate simple flavors, not just like drench everything in garlic and salt like I often do. So I like see subtlety as like subtlety works at a weed dinner for me, because I feel like all of our palates are just like hypersensitive and ready to take in more things.
Yeah.
My dream guest list is going to be like all my weedy gal pals and my favorite bud tenders from around Portland, because it's like all the women who love weed, which is my just safest space. I think we initially were like thinking we'd have celebrity ideas for dream guests, but edible dinners are like not as much the time for unpredictable vibes, or like, I guess larger egos is like the unpredictable element.
That's the
where
part.
I'm like, that I'm not 100% sure if I do think I want to have a weed dinner with that person. Like, how would they handle that? What about yours?
I love this question. First of all, I'm really vibing with the aspect of a dinner that's filled with architects who also created this dream space, this dining area to sort of match the experience.
Ooh.
I really am obsessed with this architecture firm called Code and Diabote, which first of all is really interesting because those sound like what would be considered Spanish words, and they're actually from Abidjan in Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. Yeah, and it's actually a place where my father and family went to escape the civil war in Liberia. It's just basically next door. But some of their modern architecture and the modern architecture, I think, coming from the continent of Africa has just been so dreamy. And like oftentimes it was from the 60s and 70s, very futuristic, very curved lines, like open and indoor spaces kind of at the same time when you think about the shapes some of these structures could take. Perfect complement, I think, to food and plates, right? Like you're talking about these, like this plateware that's otherworldly, and I'm right there with you.
Yes.
I also think I would include Luis Barragan, and I know it's kind of an eye roll for those who are into architecture, for those who do know Mexico City so well, but I say this because, first of all, I live in one of his first apartments, and I'm going to be moving out soon, and I feel like it's a really lovely way to, like...
so special. It is so full circle, dude.
Sort of, like, full circle, tip the hat. And
yes,
the reasons why I love him, not because of just, like, looking up at the ceilings and, like, what thinking that, oh, this was built in, like, the 1940s, but I think about him as a person being this, like, angsty, queer, God-fearing, like, soledad, solitude-loving person that is going to eat this edible, is going to eat this like salad tossed, no pun intended, with like sesame and sesame oil and sesame.
You just want to toss salad with a bunch of esteemed architects.
It's like, Menlay, this is not the kink episode. Like,
oh my gosh, I know. Are you actually describing your dream porn? I'm dead. I like that you wanted to surround yourself with builders.
Yeah, I think like there's so much art to food, and it doesn't necessarily mean it has to like take shape in, you know, what we consider again like fancy high-end cuisine, which is like a leaf with like something drizzled over it and foam.
Oh my God, I could give a shit. I could give a shit.
I think there's something to be said about like these shape makers and shape shifters sort of sitting with us as we eat, right? I'm including you.
Yes, that sounds good. I can only hope so.
You know, I'm currently annoyingly back to a plant-based diet and obsessed with these fake meat substitutes, but things that are like jicama and watermelon.
Yes, crunch
fresh. Making a, like tuna tartare, but it's with like glazed, delicious, saturated watermelon. And I mean, I think that these foods and cannabis intersect in such an amazing way. And it's just such a delight to be able to explore what that would look like with you. And maybe one day we can create this experience together.
Please. And you can also craft an incredible playlist. And
yes.
I just need to work on getting Mojo, you know, on an airplane to Mexico City.
And a tuxedo. No, I don't know.
Oh my God. He would dress up so fancy for you. Oh my God. Okay, wait. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this? Do you think that when people are high on an edible, that they can almost like align? Like when a group of people are really vibing at a dinner party, do you think that our brains and the weed can like transcend the different body chemistries going on? And we all kind of end up on a similar high trajectory?
Yes, I think so. I mean, listen, you know who you're asking.
Right? I do think I felt that before.
Like as a composer, when you're like serving edibles, everybody essentially kind of doses at the same time.
You're coordinating
it. Yeah. And so you recognize the wave that people are on together.
Feeling the momentum of the room and wanting to be on the same page and wanting to like share and be on the same level. Like I think a good mindset can help that happen. Like if you open your mind to it, I think you can even channel everyone else's vibe a little easier. Wow, we are really woo. The woo-woo hats are on.
Did you eat an edible before?
Oh my God.
It's not woo-woo. It's just us being real and open and connected.
I know. It really is.
Which is probably even more of an eye roll to somebody right now.
I had the most stoner conversation about how I get my religious cup filled through my internet weed girl community, and I was having a terrible time explaining it eloquently, but I really do feel that way. Like I really do feel like this is the only space that I can speak this freely about how I feel about energy and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And I know you guys are riding this wave with us because that spirituality episode did not scare anyone away, so
no.
I'm grateful. This is weed church to me. If you guys have incredible real or imagined dinners that you start thinking about, please share your thoughts. The more imaginative, the better. Tag us. Let us know.
Invite us to your next weed dinner or not. But in the meantime,
see you guys next time. This episode was edited by Jay Nathan. Our music is by Giselle Garcia. And our logo design is by Jennifer Wright. Learn more about Broccoli and subscribe to the magazine at broccolimag.com. Thank you for listening.